This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Back of the Nest preview show. Sponsored by Pitch Sport. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
Welcome one and all to the Back of the Nest Preview Podcast. I'm your host Terence Ford, and I want to publicly apologise for my actions on New Year's Eve. As captain of the Back of the Nest Preview Podcast, I'm fully aware that my responsibilities go beyond football, and that in this instance, I have let the fans, the club, my manager and teammates down after manscaping my balls.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yes, welcome everybody into the show. On the back of a win as well, exciting times. Unfortunately, we are sans Albert today, but Hesketh, as always, is here. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Never lets us down. Always, it's always Albert.
Yep, I'm in. No one's surprised today.
So we're going to just do a quick whistle top through some try and keep this under, probably to keep it half an hour, something like that, and you don't want to hear us groan on for too long. But first let's get into this.
Damn, I'm thirsty. I want a beer. What about you? You want a beer? I'm gonna leave you three to it, man.
Oh my goodness, I just took a sip of my beer. Are you just drinking water?
I'm drinking a Budweiser.
Oh, Budweiser. I've got, it's from the Tiny Rebel Funk range, and it's a fizzy cola sour, and it actually tastes exactly like fizzy cola sweets.
Like the cola cube thing.
Yeah.
Nice. That's actually sounds
wow. Right. Yeah, it's actually really nice. 4.8.
Are we going to talk about how Albert, every week that he actually bothers turning up, gives you abuse for the beer and the ales and all that you drink? And then sends us a picture on WhatsApp of like 20 cans of it himself at his
home. Yeah, it's actually it's from this range as well. The pictures he sent are all from this Funk range from Tiny Rebel as well. So he's actually got the same beers as me. He's obviously claiming that he didn't buy them himself or whatever.
He's really got no leg to stand on, has he? And he's not here to defend himself, so we can give him all the abuse that we want.
Indeed. Right. This podcast... is supported and brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for the family jewels and have just launched in the UK. We've gone years without using the right tools for the job. You can be one of the first men in England to experience their life-changing products. Yes, that's us sponsored by Manscaped now. Hesketh, you received your package in the post. It was quite nicely boxed together little parcel for Christmas.
Yeah, it was good. A package for the package, you might say. We got it just before Christmas, I think, didn't we? It's really good gear. It they gave us some sort of like after-shaving balm to look after yourself after you've done the business. I don't really know how to talk about this, but it's
a little spray to zhuzh yourself up during the day.
Zhuzh, that's the word I was looking for. A little bit of zhuzh. it's really good gear, and it was really, really kind of them to send it. And yeah, I think it's well worth a look.
Yeah, I'm excited for the lawnmower 3.0 as I've had an accident in the past, give myself a nick in the past, and it bleeds quite a bit more than you think. And I was on my way out to a date, and because it was bleeding so much as I was getting ready, I just shoved some tissue into my boxer shorts and then forgot all about it. And then yeah, later when we got home, she was asking me why I was wearing a tampon. But there you go. yeah, so anyway, look, that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team has perfected the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just realized the new improved Lawnmower 3.0 is in the UK. Third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. I think everybody can realize they don't want to hurt down there. Well, I tell you it's premium. I mean, it's premium. The battery has to keep it last for 90 minutes. So that's been, you know, when you're settling down, instead of rushing 90 minutes of Royal, you could just wash 90 minutes of Sandball, I guess.
It's probably more exciting a lot of the time as well, I'd have thought.
The waterproof technology allows you to groom in a shower. One of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming, or if you just want to do it in the nighttime, I guess. They've upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. We'll let Albert dish out a quiet stroke joke next week. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show off your mower loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock powered by USB. If you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand yourself. Let's get that bush to chush clean. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BOTN at manscaped.com. Make your testies your besties. So that's 20% off and free shipping with the code BOTN at manscaped.com. So that's B for balls. They will thank you. That's O for ooh. That's the noise your partner will express when you show them your smooth sack. T for testicles. And N for naughty, as this is what your sex life will become with your smooth shaft. Well, I think that about covers off Manscaped. Straight into a big balls up. Luca's released a statement after his New Year's Eve antics. Verbatim, he has said, "I want to publicly apologise for my actions on New Year's Eve. As captain of Crystal Palace Football Club, I am fully aware that my responsibilities go beyond football, and that in this instance, I have let the fans, the club, my manager and teammates down. In what is a really difficult and challenging moment for everyone, I am truly grateful that I am able to continue to do the job I love and do not take this for granted. I am very sorry to anyone who has been made to feel angry, hurt or upset by my actions. I am making a donation to local NHS service to help them continue their incredible work in our community fighting this virus." I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, Heskey. For me, might as well made no statement.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's not really saying anything there. It's one of those where you sort of think it's more of like, oh, I'm sorry, I got caught. I'll say the generic, I won't do it again. And sort of leave it at that. So yeah, not a great statement for me, especially coming like 5 or 6 days after it actually happened and the news came out. I think the news came out in the morning of the Sheffield United game, didn't it? So.
Yeah, exactly. The Sun released it that morning, I think, the video.
So yeah, I mean, you know, and Roy's comments about it were pretty off, and there's still been no like official statement for the club, which is not great. So yeah, I mean, I wasn't a fan of him playing against Sheffield United, to be honest. And the way we've handled it, it's not been good.
Yeah, I think it's been weak from the club with making no official statement themselves. I think it was weak from Roy after the game. And I think it's weak to put out this statement, which is, like you say, it's just he got caught. Now, I know people are going to be like, he's apologised, let's move on, let's move past it. But I'm genuinely appalled that he's keeping the captaincy. Now, there's been rumours flying around. I'm not going to name any names. I know who the players are, but two other players also got up to these sort of antics on New Year's Eve. And it's just, you know, these ones just haven't been caught. But when it's the captain, you know, he's the one who's supposed to be leading by example. And yeah, it's upsetting. I mean, I'm upsetting as well for him that someone who is at that party, who I assume is in a trusted circle, was actually leaked a video to the press. But yeah, that's what you get when you're a captain of a Premier League football club. But yeah, I mean, it looks like he's going to continue as captain, and some people are going to be firing out. I think more fans, the majority of fans, will not be happy with it. But that's where we're at with that. The Sheffield United game, let's get through up the Jeff Schlupp injury, looking like he's out between 8 to 12 weeks, which is a bigger blow than we thought this might have been once upon a time.
Yeah, we were saying just before we started recording, I was saying what a big disappointment it is, and he'll be a real miss. And that, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, I wouldn't have believed that I'd be saying that about Jeffrey Schlupp, but... You know, he's a good player. He's a very useful player. I think that's the thing. And we're sort of used to seeing him fit in wherever he's needed and do well. So even if he's not a regular starter, which, you know, he sort of has been on and off. He has like periods where he starts every game and then he disappears for a bit and then he comes back. But, you know, to have him on the bench at the very least is really useful. So to miss that for 2 or 3 months... is going to be a big blow, I think, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's also all the stats that have been coming out around when he starts, and I think when him and Mitchell start together on the left, I think we've won 4 and drawn 1, and when the two of them have been on the pitch together, we've actually only conceded 1 goal. All the other goals we've conceded in those games were after Jeff Schlupp got substituted, apparently. Now, I haven't gone and checked those stats, so... I mean, it's pretty impressive. And of course, on the weekend, the same happened again. Didn't concede, but of course, Jeff did get injured early in that one. But yeah, it's going to create chances for other people, as important as he is. And yeah, I mean, of course, it was Eze who came on in that game and replaced Jeff Schlupp. And well, I mean, Heskiff, what a goal!
What a goal! Yeah, it was brilliant. I think. I think we said it after the Leeds game, it's such a shame that he scored such a brilliant goal in front of an empty stadium, because that would have been one of those goals, I think, where if the crowd were there, the noise level would have gone up and up and up, a bit like Chip's goal against Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Where he, like, after every person he goes past, the noise level goes up a bit, and then the finish was absolutely superb, wasn't it? An absolutely brilliant goal.
Yeah, I celebrate goals similarly at home to like if I'm in a stadium, really. Initially, it's a big jump up, it's a big scream and punching and stuff. But this was just, I just sort of slowly got up, mainly because I'm an old man, I've got a bad back. But just applauded at the TV. I felt like a right chump after, but I was just standing there clapping at the TV, just like, oh, that's just, oh my God. Like, but it was that sort of way. It just, you know, yeah, you have to appreciate it. Although I did show it, like I showed it to one friend, I said, have you seen this? And his only comment was, the keeper didn't cover himself in glory. And I was like, he's bent it around the guy, the defender, he has no chance of seeing it, and he started it so far outside the post and the way it comes back. But that's what happens when you try and show people who know nothing about football stuff about football, I guess. So
yeah, I mean he the way he sort of passed the internet round the defender into the sort of postage stamp, you know, by the post, as much as I don't think their goalkeeper's that good, I don't know that he could do a great deal about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna, with Jeff out now, whether he gets game time against Wolves, he'll have a chance. I mean, we'll get into that shortly, but he's gonna get game time over the next few months now, a lot more than he would have done if Jeff had stayed fit. And are we getting too overhyped to say that he could get himself in the reckoning for the Euros?
Well, I mean, if he carries on the form that he's had, you know, in the last few games before he was dropped, I don't see why he won't be in the reckoning. I mean, the media seem to love him a lot as well, which is weird for a Palace player, because we're sort of used to Wilf being brilliant and not really getting the credit that he deserves from a lot of people. When Eze gets a lot of credit from, you know, Sky and Match of the Day and that, it's brilliant, don't get me wrong. It's just not something that I'm used to. But, you know, yeah, if he has a really good second half of the season and the sort of hype train continues, then I'm certain people will start talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, he literally can't do anything wrong. It's one of those, it's weird because I've been moaning a lot about it this season with Leeds. If you were just listening to the commentary of a Leeds game and not watching the game, you'd be thinking they're winning 3-0 when they're losing 3-0. They just get so overhyped. It's ridiculous. But there have been times where, you know, the commentators are just, you know, he'll give the ball away or, you know, he'll get caught out in a dribble. And the commentators will still praise him, and you know, it's very, very different. Sort of, if Will Zaha loses the ball or something like that, it's a very different comment from the commentator.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, he definitely has stuff that he needs to work on. He's by no means a perfect player. Mm. I know that we sort of take the piss out of Roy saying he's got to be more defensive, but certainly, especially if Mitchell's playing left back, he's going to have to give him support and cover him a lot, which is what Schlupp and Andros and the like are good at. But yeah, you know, we brought him in because he's an exciting attacking player. And I think, you know, he's shown his talent so far in that respect. And he seems, you know, there was an interview of Andros, I think, on TalkSport, who said that his work rate after he'd lost his place was absolutely brilliant. And he's like a joy to have sort of next year in training. So it sounds like his attitude is absolutely brilliant, and he's very keen to improve as a player, which is only going to benefit Palace, isn't it, in the long run?
Yeah, I think like everything about him, he speaks really well. Like, I think he sounds intelligent and about both football and just in general. Whenever I see interviews with him, and he's, you know, he seems really excited and wants to learn, and you know, appreciates that he's still got a long way to go and a lot of hard work to do. But it'll be interesting to see once if Roy goes at the end of the season when his contract is up, if whoever comes in puts him into a more central position and sort of builds the player around him. Because I think if you've got a player that sort of talent, you have to think about building something around them. And if we're keeping Wilf as well, you work out how you can get them to on the ball, causing as much trouble as possible, and getting the right person on the end of it to finish it all off. Yeah, very, very, very exciting. And in terms of another one for the future, we hope Palace youth team player Rob Street, striker, has gone on loan to Runaway National Conference League, whatever they call it now. Is it National League?
National League, yeah.
Vanarama National League?
Sure.
Whatever happened to the Vauxhall Conference?
Oh, those were the days.
Those were the days. But yeah, so he's gone on loan to Runaway Leaders there, Torquay. We've both been impressed with him for the under-23s this season.
Yeah, is it good? I was talking to a mate earlier today and sort of saying, like, there's not one thing that stands out that I can say, oh, you know, he's really quick or he's really skillful, but he just seems to work really hard and get in the right place a lot, which is what you want as a striker, really, I suppose. Clinton Morrison was great at getting in the right place at the right time. Yeah. And I think Torquay are doing well this year. So if he goes there and sort of gets in a successful team that create a lot, then you know, I'd back him to do really well, and that will give him confidence and sort of push him on as a player, I think. And yeah, get good experience and hopefully come back to Palace as a more sort of physically rounded player, I guess.
Back of the Nest, sponsored by Pitch Sport. Funtime videos, choose your match day squad, post match ratings, and much more. Available to download on the App Store and Google Play. PitchDMM.com.
Hey Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and t-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, definitely. It's, you know, I think that there's definitely a step up in quality in the under-23s now that we've gone Cat 1, and you can end up, you know, playing against teams that are packed with Premier League first teamers. Like in that, the last game against when we played Newcastle, Palace had, you know, Jairo Riedewald was in there, James Tompkins was playing at the back, I feel we had another first team, you know, so you never know who you're coming up against. So you do get mini tests when you play these games. You can come up against good Premier League footballers, but you want it to be really competitive and really mean something in a team that's pushing to get promoted to the Football League. So it's really valuable minutes for him at that level, I think, if you can get them. Last but not least, Nathaniel Clyne. Now, we signed him on a short deal. I was under the impression this ends at some point in January. There's rumours flying around that we're not being able to get a deal done because his agent wants a longer deal than we're prepared to give him. Obviously, it's going to be probably Nathaniel Clyne's last big deal in football, so he's trying to get a good one for his client, which is fair enough, I guess. But, I mean, A, do you think he's done enough for a new to get an extension? But with us wanting to bring the age of our squad down, is a 3-year deal or something in that range a bit out of the question?
I mean, I think I was a bit sceptical when we signed him because he'd been out for quite a long time with injuries, and I just thought, you know, expecting him to come in and do something really positive is asking a bit much. But, you know, I sort of understand a 6-month deal or whatever we gave him. But actually, and when he came in, I thought he was a bit ropey, to be honest. But he grew. He grew with each appearance and actually looked all right as he went on. Obviously, typical that he got an injury because it's quite Palace, isn't it? But, I suppose we sort of hoped that Ferguson would be fit and ready by now. So that probably explains the shorter deal. As for giving him a 3-year deal, I don't think really we should be doing that. I mean, I certainly think we should extend it to the end of this season, maybe say an 18-month one to the end of next year. But again, if Ferguson then comes in and is really good, I would imagine it would be him and Ward, wouldn't it, going to place. So... Yeah,
you can't have 3 right backs, can you? Going from feast to famine to feast, even like not having a right back for years, and then lucking across Wan-Bissaka and then so on. Having Ward. I mean, we attempted to sign Jack Hunt back in the day. That was it. Ferguson was the last right back. Jack Hunt was the last right back we signed before Ferguson.
Yeah, so I mean,
that's just phenomenal, really.
And it'd be interesting if his agent is holding out for a longer contract, more money, to see if anyone actually picks him up on it. Because, again, he's played, about 8 or 9 games maybe in the past, year. And before that, he'd played, I think, 15 games in 2 years or something. So it's going to be quite tough for them to sort of negotiate, really. I think we should be in a decent position. But, I mean, I don't really know how these things work, maybe.
I think the telling thing will be if Ferguson is closer or further away than we think he is, because I think if it's, you know, you can't, it'd be stupid to make that sort of signing and then block off his path to the first team by signing an experienced right back who Roy would probably love to use over him, because he's like, you know, experience means everything to Roy. So who knows, but it'll be interesting to see how we approach that one. I mean, I think he's done enough. If he's seeking for another year and a half, I think he'd probably get it. But anything beyond that, I think would be silly to do. Right, it's FA Cup. Yet another terrible draw in the FA Cup third round. I think we've had about one good draw in the entire time I've supported Palace in the third round, which was Dover.
Yeah,
the only decent FA Cup draw. But obviously we've been drawn away against Wolves. But it's been a bit of a different Wolves in recent weeks. I've only got 1 win in 7. And notable injuries as well. Obviously, Raul Jimenez is obviously out long-term after picking up that horrible injury with the collision of heads. Mm-hmm. Johnny's out and Podence are out. And I'm pretty sure all three of them have scored against us.
Yep.
Absolutely. So big misses for Wolves.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was actually looking before we started recording again. This is my brilliant research. About 10 seconds before you press record. I didn't realise they hadn't won in quite so long. I watched a bit of their game against Brighton. Obviously, they let that slip, which is not great because Brighton are terrible. But they just always seem to beat us fairly easily of late. It's good for us that they got some injuries, but, you know, I just, it's tough for me to see us doing what we did when we beat him 2-0 a couple of years ago that you and I went to. Around this time, wasn't it? It was early January, wasn't it?
Yeah, brilliant. Club coach massive.
Club coach massive, that's right. So yeah, it'd be interesting. I don't know huge amounts about their squad outside the sort of like well known players. I mean, you know, the players that they might bring in if they're resting some of their team. So it'd be interesting to see how full strength he goes, whether he cares about the cup, and how we deal with that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because the way they've dropped off in the league, you wonder if he will want to go after the cup a bit. I mean, it looks like Adama Traoré will probably come in, and he's no slouch to bring into the first team. But obviously, like everything with Traoré, he's never really forced his way into a team permanently, has he? He's one of those players that his end product can leave a lot to be desired at times, but. And I also am very aware that as a Crystal Palace fan, I've heard that be said about Wilf many times in the past, and I know how ridiculous it is to say him without seeing him play every week.
Yeah.
I obviously can't make his comments, but I'm impressed every time I see him play. He looks so dangerous. And then Pedro Neto is the one who's been scoring the goals for them. And they've obviously got the young kid up front, football manager legend Fabio Silva, but he's not been doing it yet. So... perfect time for his first goal, I imagine, for Wolves. Yeah. Or has he scored? He might have scored one, but I think it was a penalty. Is that? I don't know.
Yeah,
he might have won.
I was going to say, he'll probably get a hat-trick or something now. I'll just off a little bit.
Yeah, didn't he bang loads of goals to you on Football Manager?
He did, yeah. He did. He was an absolute gold mine for me. Maybe I should send him an email and say, listen.
He looks like he more belongs in the Strokes than a football team, to be honest.
What, with his big shaggy hair?
Big shaggy, yeah. He looks like he's in a rock band. Not so much playing up front for a black country side. Who knows? But yeah, so they've, you know, Dendonka's been out for them for long term. I think he's pretty close back being fit. Willy Bolly's still out for them. And they've even had to, they've got so many injuries, they've had to recall Gibbs White as well from Swansea, from his loan deal. So that's how much they're struggling. We obviously have our own injury worries, as we've touched on with Schlupp and Kleine there. But do you see Roy shifting the pack a bit? I mean, he's shows form for changing the team quite a bit in the third round of the cup.
Yeah, I think it sort of makes sense to. Because we've got Arsenal and Man City within a few days of each other after that cup game.
So I think it's not like you're required to run against those two teams.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've got some players who haven't really had much of a look in of late. You know, I'm thinking of Michy, Martin Kelly, dare I say Max Meyer. He might even make the bench, who knows. But we've got players that haven't had much game time, and I think it would make sense to give them some minutes. And, you know, they're not bad players by any means. So I think we'll probably see a few first teamers in there. But also some changes. You know, maybe Jack Butland gets a game, give Guaita a rest. Be interesting to see if he does that. So I think it will be, yeah, I think it will be a mix. I think it will be a few first teamers and then some of the sort of periphery players.
Yeah, I think we've had this... Man City, where was the 2-2? Yeah, so we had Arsenal and Man City back-to-back in January last season as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we drew 1-1 with Arsenal at home and then 2-2 with City away. That was the when we didn't get out our half for an entire second half and Wilf equalised, forced the own goal with our one attack in the second half.
That was both mine and Pep Guardiola's birthday, that was. And it's going to be a bit different because last year I was in Malta when we played that game, and this year I'm going to be staring out of a window in Norbury. So, bit
of so is that 18th of January? Is it
18th of January? That's right.
Yeah, there you go. Everyone, send in your well wishes to Heskey for his birthday. So yeah, we've touched on it. So Butland, Jack Butland, I reckon might get a shot of coming in. Now we haven't heard anything about Benteke. We know he's picked up a slight knock in the game apparently against Sheffield United. So Batshuayi to come in. Now it was a Wolves that he had one of his disallowed goals if he held his line. Is it a legitimate chance for Batshuayi to take his chance in this game, score a goal and perhaps force himself into Warriors' reckoning? Because, I mean, he really didn't come here to sit on the bench. He came here because it's a Euros year and he wants to get into the Belgium team and do as well as he can to try and push Lukaku for that starting space. But he's got to do something when he plays.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point, isn't it? He sort of made a career of scoring goals whilst not playing from the start in every game. You know, I think his goals to minutes ratio at Chelsea is insane. But in order to sort of get on and do well enough to get into the Belgian squad for the Euros, he's got to be playing. And when he plays, he's got to do something to justify keeping him in. I think he started off the season all right. And he had, like you say, I think he had 3 goals, didn't he, disallowed for offside. But it comes to a point where you're like, you need to learn the offside rule. You can't keep getting... you know, like every week it felt like we were saying, oh, if he'd have just, you know, waited half a second, that would have been a great goal. It's like, you need to just wait half a second and then score a great goal. You know, he's capable of it. So definitely if he does play in this game, because I think Benteke has been doing well, even if he hasn't scored in some games, you know, he's looked a lot more effective than he had in previous seasons. Whereas Mishy's not really the player who sort of gets involved as much as Benteke. So if he is going to do something, it means he has to score goals.
I feel like I say this about strikers every season. I really, really wanted it to be a success. And there were a few people who, you know, in my circle were talking about, you know, they don't think it's the right signing and thought he kind of lucked his way to as many goals as he scored for us in the last loan spell with us. I mean, you still got to score goals, but I feel like he padded them a bit with, you know, a couple goals in the last game of the season against Bournemouth in that crazy 5-3 game and all that. But I really hope he comes in and starts scoring, but I don't really see how it's set up for him to do that, but we shall see. Max Meyer, we haven't talked about him for what seems like yonks now, because it seems like he's disappeared off the face of the planet. I was just scrolling through the training photos there to try and find a picture of him even in the background. You know, he's not even made the bench or anything. Do you think we've come to some sort of agreement with him effectively that, you know, he's out of contract, he's not going to sign a new one, we know we're not going to be able to sell him, that just he doesn't get injured and we just let him go at the end of the season?
Yeah, I think that must be it. I mean, it still baffles me that, you know, when they extended the amount of substitutes you could have, he still didn't get on the bench.
Yeah, it was like 1 week we had 8 on the bench and he wasn't one of them. It just seems ludicrous.
It's mad. By all accounts, we were trying to, like, we were happy for him to go last season, but no one came in for him. At this point, obviously, he can talk to other clubs. So, yeah, I reckon it's probably like, look, you ain't going to play very often. I'm sure he's had enough of not even sitting, I was going to say sitting on the bench, but he's not even doing that anymore, is he? So, I think it's a real shame because he's still young. He's still, you know, I think capable of being a really good player for us. And it's just a case of Roy didn't really fancy him or he didn't fit the system and thanks and see you later.
Yeah, well, look, I think we're just getting some predictions now. Now, for the last, if you think, what did we lose to Derby 1-0 in the third round last season? Mm-hmm. We beat Grimsby the season before 1-0. I think games between Palace and Wolves, there hasn't been over 2 goals for pretty much the last 5 or 6 games. So, going to be a low scoring affair, isn't it? Or is it going to be one of those FA Cup games that you just get every now and then that just goes bloody mental?
I reckon it's going to be true to form, to be honest. I reckon, unsurprisingly, I think we'll lose. I reckon we'll lose 2-0. I think it would just be one of those where it'll be a pretty nothingy game. This is my actual prediction. It'll be nothing. We'll have a chance, a good chance. We'll miss it. They'll score pretty much after, straight away afterwards, and then get a second, like halfway through the second half.
Okay, it's almost described the Aston Villa game there. But you know, we were so negative and wrong last week about Sheffield United, just saying that they were going to get the win going to get a 1-0 win. And it was us who actually scored early and then put it to bed on the stroke of half time and never really looked like conceding. So, you know, maybe, I say maybe we've turned a corner, but they are also the worst team in Premier League history at this stage. So
that's true.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see them surviving, can you? It just, they just look so toothless up front.
They did. And like I said to a few, I might have said it in our WhatsApp as well, but like, I don't know what their game plan is. I don't, I watched them, like, they didn't just hoof it. They didn't try and get in behind us. They just didn't really know what to do. And we didn't even play that well in the first half, I don't think. I think Eze getting his goal when he did was brilliant for us. But I'm like, we're not even playing that well, and we're still, like, really
comfortably, yeah.
So it doesn't bode well for him at all.
No, it really doesn't. Oh, blimey. But yeah, I mean, it's in recent years you've seen teams get out. We got out of a massive predicament a few seasons back when Roy came in. So it's not like they're a million miles behind, is it? But it's just, where do those points come from? But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that develops. But so you've gone 2-0 Wolves. I think it's going to be 1-0 either way, probably. We might nick it. It really depends on who goes out as a team, but we don't know. So just for positivity, I'll go 1-0 Batshuayi, and we'll see what comes of it. Right. So next week, so we play Arsenal on Thursday, so there won't be unlikely be a preview for the Arsenal game next week. I don't even know. And then it's Man City on Sunday. Who knows? We'll try it. We'll figure something out. Keep locked to our socials. We haven't even worked it ourselves yet. I guess Heskey will have to check with Albert, see if he's available.
I mean, I can guess that he probably won't be.
Who knows? No, but he'll be back either next week or the week after, depending which how we end up figuring it out. But maybe we can do a sort of like joint Arsenal or Man City one or something on Wednesday. We'll have maybe think about how we make that work. Review show will be out on Sunday, where Hambo and his team will run you through that. Hopefully we'll get some more lovely Manscaped stories. And is the DR video come out yet of the unboxing of the products?
I don't know.
I mean, it's unreal. I mean, Hambo was talking about it on the review show. You got to be excited for that. As excited as he was for the ball deodorant, I imagine. But
keep your eyes on the socials.
The YouTube back in the nest, where DR's doing the sterling job. But yeah, anyway. We'll be back next week, and until then, out the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.